Hello and welcome back to another episode of Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. Today we are here to talk about the Gold Coast Suns, and I'm very excited to have Will join me here today. How are you doing, Will?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you going, Jai?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. I think the Gold Coast has always been one of my favorite teams. I reckon up there, from the moment we started doing this podcast, they've just kind of been rising and rising. And last season, they got even higher than they have in the past.
Yeah, they looked really good last year, the Gold Coast Suns. They finished fifth with 6 wins, 3 losses, and a draw. They were pretty much just a better side than everyone that wasn't in the top eight, quite frankly. And they were very close to making that top four, only just missed out by either a game or percentage. And yeah, overall, a very improved team.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to see. I feel like they've got a very, very good core on every line, but obviously, with every preseason comes a lot of off-season movement. So why don't you take us through some of the changes that have happened coming in for the Gold Coast Suns? Who can we expect to see this season?
Brought in 3 players via trading. They brought in Ellis Smith, untried player from Brisbane, Charlotte Wilson, key defender from Melbourne, and the big fish that they did manage to recruit was Katie Lynch from the Bulldogs. Very, very good key defender and interceptor. Also brought in some great young talent via the draft. They had 5 picks later in the draft, and they managed to pick up Keely Fullerton, Taya Oliver, Kiara Bisher, Sienna McMullen, and Annabelle Kivett. And they've also signed Lauren McConville as a replacement signing.
Ooh, interesting. It is interesting that their draft picks came so late in the piece. I guess that's the excitement of trying to land a player like Katie Lynch.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that in what will prove to be the final state-based draft, doesn't really bother them too much, considering Brisbane's the only people they're competing with, and they didn't have a huge amount of picks high up in the draft, considering they won the premiership. So yeah. I think it was probably the year to do it if they wanted to take a fair few picks later in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. On the flip side of things, there was a little bit of talent departing the club. Do you want to take us through some of those?
Yeah, they've lost a fair bit of experience and a few players on every line. Ellie Drennan is a big loss in that midfield, has headed over to West Coast. Lauren Ahrens, key defender, and Bess Keeney, a halfback and a winger, have departed for the Bulldogs and Essendon, respectively. And Kalinda Howarth, who was coming off an ACL injury, she has been traded to Collingwood, a former All-Australian there, so that's quite a big loss of talent. We've also delisted 3 players in Talia Mayer, Kaylee Kimber, and Claire Ransom.
Yeah, it's a big group of players going, but I think you were saying a little bit earlier before we started recording, a lot of this talent is quite old that's left the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Ellie Drennan, Lauren Ahrens, and Bess Keeney are all 32 or older, so they've kind of looked to rejuvenate from within and also through some of their inclusions. And while those were all very, very good best 21 players, I think they've probably been able to replace them fairly like for like. So I think Kalinda Howarth is probably the most interesting one that they'll be seeking to replace that half forward role, a key part of their transition play who they didn't really have last year, interesting enough.
Yeah, and that's, I suppose, as good a time as any to say, you know, why rely on what we're guessing for? Let's throw over to the experts. And I believe it was Mel had the chance to sit down with Lauren Bella a few days ago. So let's see what she might have to say about the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
Okay, so today, as part of Free Kick's Gold Coast team review, we're very fortunate to be able to interview the very talented Gold Coast ruck, Lauren Bella. Lauren, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So the Suns had their best season to date last year and were really on a roll at the end of the season with 2 wins and then making it into finals. Absolutely huge achievement. How are you guys feeling coming into season 9?
We're feeling really great. We've put in a really solid preseason. I believe most of us have actually been going since January. And I think off the back of such a great season last year, we were just so excited to continue to build. And I think just collectively as a group, and then also a little pressure from the coaches just to put in a really good preseason and set ourselves up really well for the upcoming season. Just that pre-work that we put in before preseason, and then further building in the preseason, we've been looking really, really great.
Yeah, nice. So with everyone coming fit into preseason then, how's it been going this last month or so?
Yeah, it's been going really great. We're obviously toward the back end of the preseason now. So we've had a couple more match simulation plays rather than just basic training. And that's been really exciting just to be able to get a bit more of a flow and back into more of a game sense. Yeah, it's been really, really good. Everybody's really, really stepped up and we're starting to gel together as a team, which has been really great to see. And yeah.
I can't believe the season starts at the end of this month, now that it's August. It's so exciting.
Crazy. I know. I was looking at the date yesterday and it's 29 days today till round one for us. So that's pretty crazy. But we've also been sitting there for the last 3 months watching the boys' home games, just going like, oh, please, we just want to get out there. And yeah, so really exciting. We're so keen.
So much like the Suns, you ended your season on a high, having an amazing game in the elimination final against Sydney and coming away with a career best for hitouts with 42. What are you looking forward to getting out of this next season?
I didn't actually know that. Thank you for sharing that on the career best. That's off the back of last season, I think it was obviously really disappointing. We'd obviously made it to finals, but kind of copped the loss. But I think we took that into our stride really well. And obviously that drove us into this season upcoming as well for us to just work really, really hard. You know, we took away plenty of things from the previous season, just knowing that we've improved so much and looking to build on that, that we've really gone to work on sort of our versatility and getting our fitness right and just doing all the 1%ers as well.
Anything specifically that you're really focusing on?
Yeah, I think for me, it has been more around developing our secondary role. So I know that previously when you guys have spoken to Dupes and Tara as well, I know they spoke about versatility. And I think that's something that Joycey promotes really heavily, which I'm a huge fan of, just being able to add another string to your bow. But yeah, we promote that massively and yeah, having that versatility throughout the team, just it's a better chance of being useful around the ground and being able to help your team. Also identifying your weapons and how you can help the team by playing your role, I think is something that we've really focused on in this upcoming season.
Yeah, sounds great. Now just going through a couple of the lines and some of the players we've got there. In the midfield, got to start with the midfield. Last season was just incredible for Charlie Rowbottom, Gloria Whitford, Lucy Single, all had just breakout seasons. I wonder, as an experienced AFLW player, did you get a sense that breakout was coming when you were in preseason last season?
I don't think there was a clear breakout. I think I'm very close with all of those girls. We're a very tight-knit midfield that I actually do see that at training all of the time. It was just really great to be able to see it, them to come off for that on the field and in front of everybody, and especially for them to get the recognition this year. I think they've always been really, really hard workers, particularly Lucy and Claude's as well. Charlie's just always been a beast. so yeah, for those girls, and I think just recognition as the really well-oiled machine as a midfield was really, really great to see. And obviously as a ruck, I love being able to have just a midfield that once the ball leaves my hands, just being able to get to work and I trust that they're going to go out and do their thing.
Yeah, actually that makes sense, because you would have been training with them all preseason. So you kind of see this like gradual kind of momentum. But for someone just watching the game, you get to round one and it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's all happening. Yeah. So how's the midfield group shaping up this preseason then? Kind of same build, same energy?
Yeah, I think same energy, just looking to build on that further. I think what's been really exciting as well is we've obviously had a pretty core group that's played consistently across the last couple of years in those roles, but we've got quite a lot of depth to our midfield this year in terms of who will roll through. So we've really been looking to develop those people in those roles, and even our new recruits as well, they've been shaping up really well and just putting their heads down at training and working and wanting to learn, and they've been doing amazingly in match sim as well. So that's really exciting just to know that whoever's going to roll through, that we've got a really clear game plan and we're able to execute.
Yeah, actually, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to ask about next, which is we saw Ali Drennan depart after, I mean, she'd been a midfield stalwart since the start of season 5.
Mm-hmm.
Given that she left in the off season, who do you think might be replacing her time in the midfield this season?
Yeah, I think that was obviously sad to see Dreno go, but we're quite confident in being able to bring other people through her position as well. And I think what's great with our midfield is we're so diverse and we've got so many different weapons across the personnel that are rolling through there. I think in terms of who will take up her role, I've really been enjoying seeing Maddie Brancatisano roll through there. So I know previously she's been more of a forward mid type role, but has really gotten to work in her midfield craft this year, which has been great. And then also we've had Ella Mora and Ella Smith, the two Ellas. So Ella Smith coming from the Brisbane Lions, a younger recruit, but has been going amazingly in match sim. And then I think for Ella Mora, having come to the club last year and played a couple games, she's just really gotten to work this season as well and has upped her game. So really excited for those three to roll through.
Awesome. That's fantastic to hear. Okay, so looking – oh, gosh. Sorry, clicked the wrong button.
<You're right.
laughs> My mouse just died before this interview, so I'm on the chat.
Oh, brilliant.
So in the back line then, we saw that the Suns brought in All-Australian defender Katie Lynch as well as experienced key defender Charlotte Wilson over from Melbourne, both which could be nice for placements for the role that Lauren Ahrens left behind when she was traded out. So how are Katie and Charlotte fitting in this preseason?
They're doing great. I think just in terms of personality and culture, they slot into the group so well to begin with, and they're two close friends of mine as well. I think for Katie, what's really exciting for her is she is such a natural leader and leads by example. And I think her playing sort of that key back position and being able to be vocal and directive to her defenders in front of her has really been a great point in her game and being able to step in place of Lauren Ahrens. And then for Charlotte as well, I think she's just a really exciting player to watch. I don't think I've seen anybody that can spoil the way that she can. And yeah, she's just such a strong body and very competitive as well. That goes for both of them as well. But yeah, I think we've got a really solid base in the defense and yeah, obviously they've fit into the group really well. I think previously our defense has been quite a tight-knit group too and worked really seamlessly, and they've credit to them, they've slotted in and fit in quite well.
Yeah, that's great, good to hear. So with other people that you've brought in this off season, I mean, the Suns picked up 5 rookies in the draft.
Yep.
There's quite a few of them here. Would you mind chatting me through a bit about like what's exciting about each one and how they're going fitting in?
Yeah, sure. Do you have the list of who that we've been training with them for so long? Who are the rookies again?
yeah, true. Good point. So we've got Taya Oliver.
Taya Oliver. Yep. Taya being a new recruit, she's been really exciting to watch come into it. And she's one as well that has put in a really good preseason and has been there since the early days. She's, I know, has been rolling through that forward line a little bit and has been really exciting. I think for her, what I've noticed especially is she's a really accurate kick. Oh, nice. And really gets to work as well. So, yeah, that's been exciting for her to watch her come in. But, yeah, hopefully seeing her debut this year.
Mm. Interesting to hear she's rolling through the forward line. I think from some of the reading we'd been doing here at the pod, we were pretty excited to see her given she smashed that kind of halfback role in the Q AFLW. So. Yeah, it sounds like someone that can be quite versatile there. We've also got Kiara Bisher.
Yeah, I think Bish being a defender, she's really stepped up this year. It's been really impressive just for somebody that's so young as well to slot into the role she has. And again, I think it's quite consistent across all of our the younger ones that have come in that they really just have put their head down and they're working really, really hard. I think Bish is kind of leading in the front with that one. And then, yeah, I think it's really exciting her in a 1v1 contest. She just gives it a crack and doesn't give up. And, especially during the match sims that we've seen, yeah, a lot of confidence in her to be able to win those. And yeah, she's continuing to just wanting to learn and build every day.
Yeah, I love it. Next, we've got Lauren McConville, which I can see that she's a Irish player that was brought in recently to replace Sienna McCullen, who did her ACL, unfortunately. Has Lauren arrived?
She has yet to touch Australian soil at the moment, but she will be arriving soon. I think the plan for her at the moment, I haven't been able to speak to her yet. Can't wait to meet her, though. But, yeah, we've seen, obviously, the highlight reels of her, and she just looks like she's just got speed. Looks like she's going to roll through as a small forward as well. So being able to, you know, support the talls in the contest and being able to crumb those balls and hopefully get a couple of balls through sticks, I think will be her role.
Nice. I mean, if we've seen anything from Irish recruits in the past, they're often able to just hit the ground running and smash it out straight away. So that's not too concerning. In terms of another couple of forward rookies, we've got Keely Fullerton.
So Keely rolling through that forward role a little bit, but has actually had more of a shot on the wing this year, has been more of her role. So I think just in terms of what we've seen in the 2 kilometre trial and joining a couple of social run clubs in the pre-season, she's a great little runner. And obviously, yeah, loves to push herself with that. I think that's really her driving, one of her massive weapons. So, yeah, doing really well out on the wing there. Bit of a smaller body, but knows how to use the football, makes really good composed decisions. So, yeah.
Nice. And then Annabelle Kivett?
Yeah, so Annabelle is actually going through as one of our other wingers as well. So probably more of a taller winger. She's been really great as well. I think she's insanely competitive, which is just great to see when it's a one-on-one contest, and she does really, really well with holding her width. And yeah, probably just being able to take that game on and take grass in front of her and being able to get a good forward entry, I think. And then also just in terms of defense, not afraid to get in there and win the ball back. So I think she's personally going to be one of my favorites to watch this season.
Oh, that's interesting. Because actually, the last question that we have on his interview that we like to ask all of our interviewees is actually, who's been the most exciting watch this preseason that you reckon is going to have a big impact in 2024?
Well, I don't want to discount Annabelle because she is incredible, but I think in terms of what audiences are going to see, I think Charlotte Wilson is just a really exciting player to watch, just with her ability to win her one-on-ones and really provide a really great contest. And then obviously off the back of that, we've got a solid defensive unit around her to be able to work the ball back out. And yeah, I think defenders don't get enough credit. So just going to throw it down that back end a little bit.
I like it. Share out the love. That's awesome. And like you had just listed so many exciting things about the 5 new rookies that you've got. Sounds like the Suns are just filled with young talent, excitement for the season to come. Yeah, so hoping that we can see a repeat of the performance of last season and even a little bit further up the finals ladder.
Definitely. We're hoping for a cup this year.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for the chat and good luck for the rest of the preseason.
Big thanks for having me.
All right, welcome back. And wow, that was a really interesting listen. I have to say, I did not expect a lot of those little insights from Lauren Bella there. Hearing a Brian Catasano moving into the midfield, I mean, that's something we were talking about last season, but it seems like it's finally going to happen properly.
Yeah, and it has caused me to shift around my top 5 rankings a little bit. but yeah, some really interesting insights there. I love hearing from the Gold Coast players. They're always really happy to have a chat, and that was no exception. So great interview there from Mel and Lauren.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I don't want to get too excited here, but in the last 2 seasons, we've interviewed someone who became the captain after interviewing with us, then the vice captain after interviewing with us. What do we think of Lauren Bella? I mean, Gold Coast is yet to announce their leadership team for the season.
No, they've just recently announced their leadership team, actually, Jono. And unfortunately, she wasn't in it. We didn't quite make it in time to get her in there.
So it's our bad, but Lauren, sorry about that.
Hopefully for Lauren's sake, we can maybe boost her up to an All-Australian or something like that. We'll see what we can do.
Well, we'll do our best. But look, let's jump over to our top five fantasy players from the Gold Coast Suns. And looking at this list, I don't think the number one player is going to be a surprise to anyone. But Will, who have you got there?
So yeah, I mean, number one player, you can't really go anywhere else when it comes to the Suns. It's Katie Lynch. It's Charlie Robottom. Charlie Robottom, 113 average, absolute superstar of the competition. And given she's only in her third season, she is just going to keep getting better. She is very close to being the best player in the competition already. And if you decide that she's a player that you want in your team, you're probably going to be pretty happy with her, I reckon.
Yeah, she is one that I was very excited to be bringing in last season. And I unfortunately got the timing wrong. And I think I ended up getting her the week that she ended up injuring herself towards the end of the season. And as my captain for the week, that was a bit rough. But God, everything else was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think that you can almost say that that injury game where she only scored, I think it was an 80. That's how good she is.
Yeah.
You really can't go wrong with Charlie Robottom, I don't think. Teams have been trying to tag her, and I think Collingwood was the first team to successfully tag her, and they tagged her to an 81. You know, like, that's just absolutely elite. Her ability to get the ball, she tackles, she can take marks around the ground. Like, I think she's as good a player you can go for as your M1 or 2 as there is going around.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Very excited. I think this is one that I'm likely to look at the very least when it comes to her buy round. That's somebody I'm going to want in my team for sure. How about your number two option?
Yeah, the number two option I've gone for was Claudia Whitford, and she was a real left field option last year. Really came into her own and scored some really good scores. Quite a few hundreds. Was pretty consistent as well. Lowest score of 78 in the Gold Coast game where Charlie Robottom struggled, interestingly enough. So, an average of 99. She's probably a bit of an awkward price because I'm not sure how much upside there is there, but I think she'll be quite a unique pick that you can probably bank on another 100-ish average. And she is still fairly young, so there is scope for improvement. But I think just being an 100 averaging midfielder puts you into a conversation of midfielders you can pick regardless.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting mix at the Gold Coast midfield. And before we start talking, I suppose, about what that mix is going to look like, I think we might as well tick off number three on your list.
Yeah, number three, who has been bumped up quite a bit thanks to our insight from Lauren Bella there, is Maddie Brancatisano. And we've been talking a bit in previous episodes about potential mid-price options. And I think Brancatisano is a really interesting one in your midfield because she averaged 55 last year. She was a rookie price forward, which 55 for a rookie price forward, absolutely fantastic. You move that into the midfield and you think, oh, not sure about that. But Lauren Bell's insight that she's probably going to get more midfield time and take over Ellie Drennan's role. Ellie Drennan's averaged 77 last year in what was probably a bit of a down year for her. If she can jump up from a 55 to a 75, that's 20 points worth of upside. That's a huge amount of cash to generate and could be a really handy player that you could use to move upwards maybe to a Robottom or a Whitford.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's listed as a midfielder because she did play a little bit of mid last year, but we've seen in other platforms that she's listed as a mid-forward. So she definitely was sort of mixing her time a little bit between those two lines. The question really is, how much of that midfield role is she going to take on?
Yeah, exactly. And if that's something we see early on, like she's a staple of that center bounce, and she is competing for that role with players like Lucy Single. If she does get a fair bit of midfield time, I think there's definitely scope for her to boost that average up towards a 70. I think she's a talented enough player to do that. So definitely a preseason watch and one that we've sort of scrambled to fit in thanks to that interview, but could be a really interesting mid-priced option.
Yeah, I would really be hoping, because 55 is such an awkward price, I think I'd be hoping for an 80. I think that's enough that I would go, yeah, lock that away. I think at a 70, geez, you'd really be line ball call there. I'm not sure with some of the other options that we've got this season. It's a tough one to pull out.
Yeah, so I think it's quite an interesting option, but definitely a fair bit of risk involved. So not a lock by any stretch, but still, if you're looking at mid prices to try and maybe save a little bit of money, Brancatisano might be one of those options to get you there.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love to hear it. You know, when you look at their list, it's actually really challenging to figure out who else is going to run through their midfield, because outside of Rowbottom, Whitford, and Brancatisano, I mean, your options are Lucy Single that you brought up before. Is there anyone else we could really be looking at?
Well, it's actually very interesting because in the platform itself, they only have 5 listed midfielders.
Yeah.
So someone's going to get some time in there, or they're just going to have a really tight group. So the 5, we've talked about 4 of them already, which is Charlie Rowbottom, Claudia Whitford, Lucy Single, and now Brancatisano. And the other one is a popular rookie from last year, Alana G, who has played in a variety of roles. She could be a player that also gets a bit of midfield time, but I think Brancatisano is probably ahead of her in the pecking order.
Yeah, I think, doesn't G play a little bit on the wing as well? So she'd float in and out. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought she'd be the main one.
She played a bit on half back last year, a bit on the wing. So you could see someone like a Niamh McLaughlin get in there. You could see one of these young draftees like a Keely Fullerton maybe push in there off the wing.
Hmm.
It's going to be interesting, but I think that their main centre bounce will almost always be Rowbottom, Whitford, Single. I think that that just will be how they go into it, and it's how much time Brancatisano can get over that one of those 3 that will determine whether this becomes an interesting mid-price pick.
Yeah, it definitely makes players like Rowbottom and Whitford a lot more tempting looking at that. Just going that they're going to have to put in a Herculean effort this year just to make sure that they're performing to the standard they did last season.
Absolutely. And midfield time is really important for our midfielder scoring. And if you've got a really tight-knit midfield group, it can really help. And if Brancatisano becomes that midfielder, as I said, it means that she could be really worth that punt. But again, watch in the preseason, see how that midfield lines up, and potentially you might have a bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at other lines, though, your number 4 pick was one of the higher averages on her line last year.
Yeah, it's Daisy Darcy, who was one of my favourites last season. Very, very consistent player in the back half. She was a very, very consistent player, particularly as she pushes up and they like to use her kicking. She's a really elite kick. Very, very rarely pushed up above the really high scoring defenders that we have. So her ceiling score was a 78, which is really good, but probably not quite the elite level. But other than a couple of 40s, she was always in that sort of 60 to 70-ish range, which means she's a player that you know what you're going to get. And given she's a still a fairly young player and a player that they like to get the ball in the hands on, I can see her pushing up the ground a bit, especially if players like Katie Lynch can get involved a bit more across half-back. We know she can play a bit across the wing. She might even be one of the players that gets in that midfield rotation. So I think she's definitely an option that you can consider. Whether I'd start with her, I'm not sure. I think she gained most of her value last year. But she's a player that I could definitely foresee having a 5 or 6 point boost that we might be looking at a bit later in the year.
Is she one of the people that would benefit from Beschini's departure in that sort of transition out of defense? Or is she more the person that is distributing the ball out, would you say?
I'd say she's probably more a distributor. I think Beschini probably played a bit more of a defensive role than Daisy Darcy did, but they were both important in the Gold Coast Suns transition from half back. I think Daisy Darcy it's probably more whether she can get up the ground or not. Less so about Beschini. I think it's actually more how do they structure up in terms of their tall defenders, because they've got quite a few key defenders down there. They've got Viv Saad, Katie Lynch. They've also got Charlotte Wilson, who's just come in, Clara Fitzpatrick, so they can line up pretty tall down there. And if someone like a Katie Lynch can be more of a small tall, it does give her scope to push up and possibly be part of that midfield mix. So it's something that I'd definitely keep an eye on, because she's an elite kick, as I've said. She's a player they want to get the ball in the hands of, especially going forward. She's a player that they often looked for with handball to try and kick inside 50. If that's something that she can get a bit more of, then maybe that's going to push her up towards that 70 average, and that makes her really, really interesting. But it will depend on how, firstly, that back line shapes up, and then the midfield. So yeah, one to see what her role will be. But I think she's a fantastic player and a player that there is scope for development. So I can see her definitely averaging over 60 again this year, put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, look, at the other end of the ground, Gold Coast had a fantastic year with some of their goal scorers. Very, very powerful up front. And your number five on the list was a big reason for that.
Yeah, number five, I've put a friend of the pod, Jack Depay, who had an outstanding season last year. Averaged 68, which put her as the sixth highest averaging forward, which is quite interesting.
Well, and for this coming season, which is very important for a year with very few options.
And while we've talked a bit about, you know, key forwards, usually not a huge fan given that it's not a consistent role, but I think the thing that I really liked about Jack Depay last year was she played similar to the Bonnie Toogood role, which is they loved throwing her behind the ball. They loved getting her up the ground because she's a fantastic mark, which left Tara Bahanamore as deep forward. And if you've got a forward who's relying more on marks than they are on goals, it allows them to be a fair bit more consistent. So I think that she's a player that I'm not sure there's a huge amount of value there. I don't know if she's going to increase that score. And she's a player that we've talked a bit about as a regression target as well, just because she had such an outstanding year last year. But I can't really see her averaging that much less than 60, which still puts her in a pretty handy bracket for forwards, because we're pretty light on. So one to consider and just have in your back pocket, because I think she'll be a pretty unique pick.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, to have a broader look at the forwards, there are very few at that top end that I really expect to improve their scores. Like, Toogood obviously had one out of the box and was phenomenal. You know, Gemma Houghton was also highest career season. Like, a lot of these players that I'm very strongly considering, I'm expecting to regress. So I don't want people to look at Jackie Depay and just go, no, it's not for me, it's too much that she's going to regress. Because if she can hold that average, I think that's probably a fair shout at being enough to stay in the top five for the season.
Yeah, I think that she'll definitely be there or thereabouts again. And the way it is, a 60 might just be good enough. You know, like, that might actually end up being a player that at the end of the year you say, yeah, I need that at my forward four or five. That might just be the way it is. Definitely one to put into your calculations as a slightly alternative forward option.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's an interesting one. I'm just having a look at the Gold Coast run for the year. And they definitely start with a bit of a favourable run. So St Kilda to start with, and then Carlton, GWS after that. You would have thought there's some opportunity there.
Yeah, and it's almost funny because I almost think maybe that's not advantageous to Depay, because they like throwing her back late in quarters when it's close. So maybe if they're going that well, maybe she won't get that added boost from two or three intercept marks. But hopefully it would be supplemented by a few extra goals and it won't make too much of a difference. Now, we've got a Jono special here, and this one is a very special one because it's a player that has burnt a lot of coaches, and we've already talked about her a fair bit.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's Katie Lynch. And Katie Lynch is one that I guess has been fantasy relevant for so many seasons, but very much yo-yos around with her score. So Katie Lynch is priced at 54, and really, I think that's unders what she is capable of. She's had seasons in the past where she's gone well over 60. The real question that we have here is, what is her role going to be for the Gold Coast Suns? So at the Bulldogs, they were really, really starved, I think, of having these tall defenders. And she was often sort of chucked into these key defensive roles. And she is very good at them. But from a fantasy perspective, we really want her freed up because it's her intercepting, her running, and her distributing game that we're pretty excited about here. So what I like about this move to the Gold Coast Suns is that they do have more key defensive options than the Bulldogs had last season. So if we end up with players like Charlotte Wilson in the side, who are taking, you know, the most important forward, and it just frees Katie Lynch up a little bit, then I think a return to these 65, maybe even 70 averages is very possible.
Yeah, and I mean, we say yo-yo around. The biggest example of this was all the way back in season 6, before we even started doing this podcast, which was She had a run where she scored 82, 72, 71. And a lot of coaches were like, she's the player to get. The very next week, she played as a key defender against Collingwood, which is somehow supposed to be a good role, but not, and scored an 11.
Oh, I remember that. An 11, yeah. I think I had her in my team that week, and it just, it hurt.
And so many people were like, that's horrendous. She scored an 80 the next week.
Yeah. It's just how are you supposed to, and how do you predict that, you know? Because an 80 is such, it's a score you need, but if you're copping an 11, like that can ruin a season.
Yeah, I think, and we talked about it a bit with Dizzy Darcy, but seeing how that Gold Coast backline shapes up in this preseason is going to be really critical to how we value some of these players. Because, as I said, if she can manage to play the small, tall role where she's basically allowed to just drift off and take intercept marks, Katie Lynch all of a sudden could have been almost at number one in the Gold Coast most important players.
Mm. No, absolutely.
Because I was basically shuffling between having Katie Lynch in my top five and not. And I really don't know at this stage because, yeah. And we heard from Lauren Bella that it's at this stage sounding to be more of a key defensive role, which isn't fantastic. But again, they've also got Viv Saar, they've got Clara Fitzpatrick, Charlotte Wilson's another player in there. That might change. So we really want to see what's happening with that role over the preseason because it could have a massive flow on effect for pretty much every other player on this list.
Mm. No, for sure. I think this is a practice game watch and a half, so that'll be exciting. Are there any of these young draftees that you're looking at, Will, that have come in that could potentially get a role round one?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether any of them do get that role. There's a few players that they have sort of moved out that their roles aren't necessarily clearly covered. I still think they are probably missing a little bit of pace and zip in that forward line. We saw some really good stuff from Jamie Stanton and Neve McLaughlin, two of the most exciting forwards, but a little bit inconsistent. They could probably get that from their first round pick, Keely Fullerton, who is a very exciting young talent. Can also push up into that midfield. So we've talked about there might be midfield spots on offer. Maybe she's the one. Maybe there's a wing spot available due to Bess Keeney going. I think she's probably the most likely.
A 300k forward is very, very handy to bring in any time, so it's good
exactly,
to know.
Exactly. I think we talked a bit about Taya Oliver before doing this. Highly rated internally, but as we said, we're not really sure about the defensive stuff. So I think that it's the midfield half-forward areas where there's probably the most scope, and I think Keely Fullerton is probably the biggest chance of the draftees. And just being the first draft pick that they picked, you'd expect that she's one they rate quite highly.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that might wrap up the Gold Coast Suns. It's been a very insightful one. I think I'm thinking this every time we do a team, but I so desperately need to see these practice games come up because there's a lot to learn still. But look, if that's going to do us and you want to chat a little bit more about the Gold Coast Suns, you can always reach out to us on our socials. We are at FreeKickWPod. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube now. Don't forget that you can find all of our podcasts uploaded on YouTube, so go over there and subscribe. Otherwise, it's been a pleasure having you, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Absolutely, and watch out for the best 21 as well. Who knows how that's going to shape up, but we've given it our best stat. That's also up on the socials.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, have a good day, everyone. Great. See you stuff. Later.
Catch everyone.
Bye.